Likely you have not spent a lot of time reading Ephraim the Syrian. He lived in the 4th century and served the Lord in a town called Nisibis in Turkey. He was a deacon, a Bible teacher, hymn writer in the early church, best known for writing theological poetry. I want to get my hands on some of that. That sounds beautiful. Because of his deep devotion and insight, the church later called him the harp of the Holy Spirit. Syriac is the early Christian dialect of Aramaic used for worship, theology, hymns, and Bible commentary for the Eastern Church. Ephraim's works were preserved in Syriac monasteries. The West only rediscovered him in the 1800s. Modern translations made him widely readable in the last 100 years. More accessible translations for pastors and general readers appeared after the 1980s, and we're just now catching up to some of his writings. I mean, this stuff takes a long time for this stuff that they discovered, these manuscripts, to be verified and then translated and to come to a place where a consumer would actually want them. I mean, this isn't exactly on your Kindle page, you know. We're releasing Ephraim today. Who? So? Who cares? You know, we've got this other stuff to worry about. But it's an important thing that a lot of ancient manuscripts are coming to light now. Dr. Lee Brainerd is a lecturer fluent in biblical languages. He wrote and lectured about Ephraim's famous sermon called On the Last Times, the Antichrist, and the End of the World. Brainerd lists 10 prophecies in which Ephraim teaches that the resurrection and rapture of the church will be pre-tribulational. It's interesting, you know, like I said, nobody's been reading these ancient guys, and so you'll hear comments like, oh, none of the early church fathers ever believed in a rapture, that's all made up and stuff. Well, they did. And we just need to acknowledge that. Now, it doesn't mean that that's that's not the Bible, and we study the Bible to find out when the rapture is and all that. But it's interesting, is it not, that people closest to Jesus, closest to the apostles, had these beliefs. And so it's not way out there like some people would have us believe. And so Brainerd's done some great work. Here are two of the statements that Ephraim makes about the rapture from his writing. He says, "For all the saints and the elect of God are gathered prior to the tribulation that is to come, and they're taken to the Lord." And then secondly, he says, "Watch always, praying continually that you may be worthy to escape the tribulation and stand before God. For if anyone has tears and compunction, let him pray the Lord that he might be delivered from the tribulation which is about to come on the earth, that he may not see it at all." Now, as exciting as all this kind of stuff is, that's actually not my point this morning. Over the last few months, I've been fascinated with Daniel 12:4, where Daniel is told to shut up the words of the book and seal the book until the time of the end, when many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Daniel, the prophet, told to seal the book. Now, in other words, I think what's being said there is that people would not understand some of Daniel's prophecy until the end times. And that's been true. One of the criticisms of some of the eschatology, some of the teachings of the end times, is that nobody understood it before and nobody saw it before, so it must not be real. But that's exactly what you would expect. You would expect to be having new understanding of old prophecies in the area of Bible prophecy, and that's what we see with these things. People ask, are we then in the end times? Well, that's a trick question in the sense that they mean, have we entered into the tribulation or how close are we and all? But in reality, the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 2, says that these are the last days. He says, in these last days, the Lord has spoken to us through his son, Jesus. So we've really been in the last days since the coming of Jesus. And now we feel that it's accelerated, of course. Now, next, the first thing we would say is that since we are in the time of the end and we can expect prophecies to be unsealed, which were previously not understood, that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. How does that fit? Well, it turns out that the phrase running to and fro it's a Hebrew idiom, doesn't simply mean physical travel through space at a rapid time. It means that the word itself means to search carefully, to investigate, and to inquire diligently. And so in the context, it's saying that in this time, when a lot of these prophecies are going to be revealed in the end times, people will be running to and fro through the scriptures to see if it's so. There'll be a deeper level of Bible study. A lot of smart people think that at least part of what Daniel meant is exampled by the renewed interest in the writings of early believers in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, I keep bringing this up too, but the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls is a monumental archaeological discovery, and it is fantastic for Christians because we are learning just what the early church was about and just what they believed. Again, if Irenaeus believed something, it doesn't make it true because, you know, he reads the scripture, we read the scripture, and we have to bring it together. But isn't it a neat thing to know what these early guys knew? Today we're going to look at Polycarp in the church at Smyrna. He knew John. He knew the Apostle John. He was a disciple of the Apostle John. And then guys like Irenaeus and Justin the Martyr, they were disciples of Polycarp. And so these guys knew what the apostles believed. And that is something that we need to plug into. And so, this idea that Daniel gets, or this command that he gets to seal up these things, we see them becoming, in a sense, unsealed. We see this happening in our day and age. One more thing, this is just interesting to me. The Dead Sea Scrolls were found in about 1947, but they were given public scholarly recognition. They were recognized as genuine April 11, 1948. Just a month later, Israel was reborn as a nation on May 14, 1948. I don't think it's a coincidence that these marvelous, amazing writings about the scriptures, which talk about the Jews and God restoring them to their land, was found and, spoken of as good and right a month before the Jews became a nation again. And so there's a lot going on behind the scenes, obviously, that God is doing. One thing we talk about regarding the pre-tribulation rapture is that the Lord could come at any moment. His coming is imminent. We know he's going to come and raise the dead in Christ. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. You know, sometimes we say everyone is going to die, nothing more certain than death and taxes. A whole bunch of people are never going to die. If Jesus came today and raptured the church, millions and millions, who knows, maybe a billion Christians would be gone who will never taste death. They'll just be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. But he's coming, and then the great tribulation will unfold. We'll have no part of it whatsoever. And then we will return with him after the 7 years is over to help establish that kingdom he's promised to build for Israel and the Gentiles on the earth. And so we like to say, are you ready for the rapture? If not, get ready and stay ready. Please keep looking up, because ready or not, Jesus is coming.